Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name, it's Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. Yeah, I started off the show a little different today because things are different in the real estate market. Things are really weird out there. Here's what I know, and this is just based on my little snapshot of the world. I've been trying to sell my principal residence. If you listen to the show at any length, you know that from time to time, I'm just going to tell you what I'm up to. Okay, so we've been trying to sell our principal residence. So right out of the box, literally right out of the box, we got the property aggressively priced, we got put on the market, and we got basically a full price offer. Full price offer, all cash too. Yeah, somebody coming out of California. So that deal fell apart. And you're probably wondering, what'd you do to screw that up, Al? Well, actually, I didn't do anything to screw that up. See, what happened is the buyer is a single man, and he's got a girlfriend who's also his, well, baby mama. I hate that term, but that's the relationship they have. So you have a man and a woman who are cohabitating and basically doing everything married people do without getting the certificate that says you're married, and they've got a child. So they came to our house. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. I mean, it met every single requirement they had. There was nothing on the market that was better for these guys. So they wrote an offer, and we asked for something called proof of funds. Yeah, proof of funds. See, you do that when somebody gives you a cash offer to make sure that they're just serious. I mean, really, you want to verify if somebody's going to tell you, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars all cash, before you go under contract and waste a bunch of time and come off the market, you want to verify that they have the money available. You do. So I said, okay, the offer was everything we wanted. Everything we wanted. But I said, before I sign this offer, before I take this property off the market, I want proof of funds. Well, of course, this thing happened over the 4th of July weekend. So there's no banks. There's no banks. Now, I guess the guy, you know, what he could have done is he could have taken a screenshot of his checking account or whatever. He could have sent me that, and I would have been fine with that. But he said, no, I've got to get something from the bank. Okay, so it sounds like he wants to do it the correct way. Well, the first opportunity for the banks to open was last week, you know, because we had the 4th of July weekend, right? So I'm expecting the proof of funds to come in Tuesday morning, and it's crickets. And I'm thinking, okay, man, maybe the guy's busy. You know, I mean, people, they have lives. Okay, maybe it's on his get it done list today. He just hasn't gotten it done. So we get to the afternoon of Tuesday, and I ask my agent, hey, what's going on with this guy? Well, she follows up, and here's the response we got. Apparently, the woman was not happy with the man. Nothing to do with the house. Everything to do with whose name was going on the title. See, he intended to keep the house in his name and not put her on the title. Now, there's reasons for doing that, but apparently they had not discussed this prior to making the offer. So as a result of that, the woman basically said, I'm out. Okay, well, technically, if he's going to buy the house and put it in his name, I don't need you to sign the contract. I'm not worried about that. But he put himself in a bad position with this family unit, which spilled over into a bad position for me. So a house that was supposed to be sold, all cash, didn't get sold. So what did we do? Well, we went right back to work marketing the property, and we attracted another buyer. Yeah, I'm telling you, this house is it's got it going on. I'm not going to tell you where it's at because I'm not trying to sell my house to you over the radio. No, I'm not doing that. I want to sell it to somebody that wants to live in this house and enjoy the benefits that I've had for the last 8 years that I've been here. Yeah, I mean, that's really what I want. Okay, so we attracted the second buyer. All right, like I said, the house is great. The market's great. We get somebody who gives us an offer on, what's today, Monday? So this would have been on, I think it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. So the offer comes in, and this offer is not a cash offer. This is an offer that's going to require some financing. As a matter of fact, they're going to put 25% down, and they're going to buy the property. And they give me a loan approval letter from their lender, which says these guys are good to go. They have checked all the boxes up to the point where we actually start doing the nitty-gritty of the loan, because now we've got a property under contract. And I'm like, okay, sweet. So they actually came in $10,000 above what we were asking because they really loved the home. Yeah. And they had it all set up. They were going to do an inspection. It's supposed to happen tomorrow. Well, let me tell you what happened last night. Apparently, these folks have been on the hunt for a house for a while. Yeah, they've been on the hunt. So when our house showed up, they're like, man, it's everything we want. And I remember they asked, could they put a pool in the backyard? And I said, yeah, actually, we had actually considered doing it. You certainly can put a pool in the backyard if that's what you want to do. Well, last night, apparently what these folks have been doing is, even though they had an accepted offer on my property, they kept looking. They kept looking. And then they found a house that meets their requirements that has a pool. So what happened last night? My agent calls me and goes, I got some bad news. And I'm like, really? Really? Okay. So what I'm getting at today is we're going to talk about flexibility. Yeah, we're going to talk about flexibility. We're going to talk about having your dreams ripped out from beneath you. Okay, it's not going to be that bad, but stick around. It's going to be fun.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. Had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so in the first segment, I was kind of bringing you up to speed on the frustration my wife and I are having in this housing market. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. So, okay, so let's break it on down. The first buyer that we had, they shouldn't have been buying property. No, they really shouldn't have been. They should not have been out looking at property, making offers on property, if they didn't even understand internally how they were going to hold title to the property. Yeah, those people should have never come into my home. Yeah, they should have never been here. But their agent brought them. And unfortunately, I'm going to say something about real estate agents. And because this is a live show, I'm not going to be able to take it back. So here it goes. I think real estate agents are outstanding people to have on your team. I absolutely do. I mean, the one I've got that has my house listed, her name's Bonnie, by the way, she's awesome. She's awesome. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's in the Gets It Club, that understands the buying and selling process, understands the marketplace, is giving me full customer service. I mean, like, you would think I'm selling my house for like $10 million. That's the level of service I'm getting from Bonnie. And I can't be happier with her. I can't be happier with her. And it's not her fault that this stuff is happening. It's the fault of the other agent for not screening their clients correctly. Yeah, I mean, they're okay, here comes the part that I can't take back. Real estate agents out there that are operating in the environment that are barely trained. Yeah, I'm just telling you what my years of experience have seen, because this is not the first property I've ever transacted, let alone as a personal residence, and it's not going to be the last one. Okay, I have transacted a lot of property in my life, even more so now that I'm a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. So I understand. And I also understand that there is a division between buying and selling investment property, because that's more of a logical decision. Yeah, it's a logical decision because you make your decisions based on facts that are known in the marketplace. But when it comes to selling your principal residence, whoa, tell you what, there's a little bit of logic in there, but there is a ton of emotion in there. There's a ton of emotion in there. So I got to go back to that first agent did not do a really good job of understanding who she was putting in her car. Yeah, I'm just calling it the way I see it. Now, the second agent, okay, from what I can tell, solid agent. But here's the thing. Her buyers, solid buyers. Nothing wrong with the people that just backed out of the offer on me because they found something else that had a pool in it. Okay, it's that emotion thing. Yeah, this is my house. I need to sell this house so that I can move on to my next phase of my life. And I will tell you this, here's where it gets so frustrating. Oh, I got to go back to the second realtor. Okay, so the second realtor, here's where it kind of got away. Now, keep in mind, I don't have any angst against that second agent. I don't. She was doing what she was supposed to do, which was serve her clients. Yeah, I just kind of wish that they hadn't been like dropping offers on anything that could work so that they could lock the property up, so that they could have a day or two with me not being on the market. I lost a whole weekend of showings because I thought my house was sold. Okay, so that makes me mad. We are back on the market. And this is the frustrating part, because we thought we had our house sold twice. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I start going, okay, well, I'm going to do what we do in the multifamily lane, where, you know, any offer that comes in now, your earnest money goes hard. Yeah, that's it. It goes hard unless you actually pay for the inspection and actually have the inspector come out. And then you write me a letter that says, I walk away from your property based on the inspection. Because technically, if you read the contract, there was nothing in the contract that said they get to walk away, because the contract was written that they would have 7 days to do inspections. Yeah, they didn't do one inspection. Yeah, well, they ordered an inspector because we were told the guy would be here tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is not happening now. So they just withdrew their offer, and I have no interest in pursuing those people. I really don't, for a couple reasons. One, that earnest money, it's not going to make or break me. It's not. Number two, I actually am happy for that family. I'm happy that they finally found exactly what they wanted. I'm a little sad that my house didn't meet the bill. Maybe if I got a shovel and started digging a big hole out there and, you know, turn on the garden hose. Okay, bad idea. You're right. Bad idea. So let's go to this sense of frustration that's in my household right now. Yeah, there's a big sense of frustration, because every time we have a showing on the house, my wife, she probably should have been a fighter pilot. It's like she's got this checklist in her mind. Like all fighter pilots, they all go through this massive checkbook. Well, they do, because fighter jets are expensive. But they go through this massive checklist to make sure everything is done correctly, because they don't want to, like, you know, blow themselves up or break the plane. Okay, so my wife is kind of the same way, except she didn't have a checklist. It's all in her mind. And she goes about the house, and everything has to be a certain way. A certain way. And it takes a little bit of time to stage the house exactly as she wants it. And then, of course, we got to turn on all three air conditioners. We have to turn on all the lights because we need to make our house look great. And just before the people show up, my wife, myself, my two dogs, we jump in our truck and we go drive down the road about a half mile to our local park, and we just kind of sit there and hang out because we don't want to be around when people are walking through our house. So there's a little frustration in my household right now. And here's the thing I really haven't told you. There is a house out there. There is a house out there that my wife has picked out that she wants. She wants that house. And here's the thing. We wrote up an offer on that house when we first thought we had it sold after the 4th of July weekend. And just as we were ready to present it, we go, whoa, time out, time out, time out. We never presented it. Yeah. So guess what? We did the same thing the other day. And we didn't present it. But here's where the experience kicks in. Oh, I'm out of time. Okay, so we come back for the break. I'm going to tell you what we did.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power or where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so I've had about 5 minutes to cool my jets a little bit. I kind of needed that too, because I'll be honest with you. When you're buying and selling your personal residence, it's an emotional thing. No matter how logical you try and be about the entire process, you have to realize that anybody that's on the other side of the buying process, you know, the transaction process, I mean, it could be a selling process too, because I could be buying, right? So when I'm dealing with properties that are owned by real estate investors, it's pretty cut and dry. It really is. Or even properties that aren't owned by real estate investors, properties that I'm looking to acquire, you know, houses that are not necessarily in the best condition, that have potential to be what they once were. Yeah. So when I buy property like that, I make my decision on my offer based on fundamental facts. You're probably wondering what those are. Okay, I'll share. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We share information. So this is what I'll do. I will take a look at the asset. I will determine, okay, what do they want to sell me the asset for? Because that's my initial pricing. And then I need to take a look at, well, what is this property worth in that neighborhood if I fix it all up? So I've got two numbers I'm working with, kind of a wholesale number and a retail number. I also have to understand what's going on with the functional systems in that house. Yeah, I'm talking about the foundation. I'm talking about the roof. I'm talking about the plumbing systems, the HVAC systems, the sewer lines. Maybe it's got a septic tank. Maybe it's got a well. Yeah. I have to have an understanding of how serviceable those things are. Not to mention any appliances like hot water heaters or ranges and ovens that might be in the property. And I have to determine serviceability. I do. And if it doesn't have a lifespan of like 5 to 7 years, I fix or I replace it. Now, there's a cost associated with doing that. There is a cost. Yeah, so like, you know, water heater, maybe that's $1,600. Depends on the size. Depends on, you know, who's putting it in for you. I've got some great plumbers that don't, you know, they're not sending their kids to Stanford based on putting in one water heater for me. Yeah, that's part of our vendor program. So what I'm getting at is there is a total all-in cost to a house that maybe I want to buy that needs some TLC. Yeah. So what I'm looking at is, can I afford to pay this person who wants to sell me that house? Now, keep in mind, that owner of that house may be somebody who's lived in that house for a very long time. Therefore, there's emotion on that side of the equation. And for whatever reason, they're on the market and they want to sell. They have their reasons for wanting to sell. But I can't afford to overpay for property. And I'm kind of seeing that going on a little bit in the marketplace right now because, you know, property prices, they've been going up. I don't know if you've been noticing what's going on in the marketplace right now, but I was just reading an article that was telling me, what do they cite in the article? It's from Politico, and part of the reason I didn't use it because it's kind of a political spin, but they said home prices are already up 15% from last year and rents are soaring at nearly triple their normal rate in just the first 6 months of 2021. Yeah. I mean, that kind of tells me that stuff's going on. And the article talks about inflation. I mean, we talked about all this stuff last week. Let's get back to that investment property, though. So I know what I can afford to pay. And if somebody is asking more for a property than I can afford to pay, I have two choices. I can either pass on the deal, because, you know, maybe the guy wants $60,000 for the house. Maybe all I can afford is $45,000. That's a pretty significant reduction. So I'm taking 25% off his asking price. So I really have to understand, is his pricing realistic or not? Well, it's better to walk on a deal like that because you will find another property that will work, that is priced appropriately based on its condition in the marketplace. Yeah, so as you become a more skilled real estate investor, you can do all that stuff. It's not that hard to learn this stuff. As a matter of fact, you just hang out with us, man. We talk this stuff. We live and breathe this stuff. We love this stuff. We do, because it's changing our lives. And we'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing. Let's go back to the personal residence selling model. Okay. I'm aggressively priced. That means I actually could ask for more for my property. I could than what I have it listed for. But one of the things that I bring to the table is I want somebody to have good value. I want them to feel like they're getting an even better deal than maybe they think they're getting. I mean, that last buyer, they came in and they offered me $10,000 more because they wanted to buy the house. Now, it turns out they changed their minds, but it's still a great value. I mean, I looked at all the comps yesterday because I'm like, okay, what's wrong? What am I missing here? And it has nothing to do with the house. It has nothing to do with the location. It has nothing to do with the property. It just has to do with emotions. Emotions are driving the purchasing piece with me trying to sell. So, you know, and I'm feeling them too. Yeah, because, you know, when I was telling you about the investor property, I can walk. Now, unless I really want that property and I feel like negotiating, and part of the negotiating is telling people the facts that they don't want to hear And sometimes it's also showing them that you understand the business model and you're really trying to help them out, but you just can't. You can't. You're trying to get to their price point, but you can't. Okay, so we are back on the market. My wife is upset. Yeah, because the whole process of, you know, getting ready, leaving the house, the whole nine yards, it's a pain in the you-know-where. It is. Yeah, I was going to say neck. What were you thinking? Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway. So let me talk about this house that my wife has her eyes on. So we got ready to write that offer, and just before we presented that offer, that first deal fell apart on us. So we pulled back. The owners of that property don't know at that point we want to buy the property. So we get to the second offer and acceptance. Okay, so we go back into house hunting mode. That house that we want is still available in the marketplace. For whatever reason, it's still there. There's nothing wrong with it from what I can tell. Okay, but we went and looked at a couple of other properties just to make sure that we're seeing what's available in the marketplace. Because I don't know about you, but stuff that's decent in this marketplace, it's not staying available for sale very long. Yeah, unless, you know, people do to me what they've been doing to me. So here's what we decided to do last night. Because my wife is convinced that house she wants it. We know this house is going to sell. We know that we're just dealing with the BS that goes on with, you know, the selling process. So we come back from the break. I'm going to tell you what we did to resolve our problem. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex, Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. I'm going to tell you what we did. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you what we did. So this property, well, my wife loves it. The property that I want to buy for us, my wife, she's fallen in love with it. Yeah. So there's your motion for you right there. So I'm in a situation where, okay, I've been looking at a lot of property and I keep going back to this property that she's in love with. And I understand all the reasons why she's in love with it. So in my mind, I have to start figuring out a way to secure this property. I'm serious. Think about it. After 4th of July weekend, we were ready to write an offer on that property. This property had received several offers before we had even shown up to make an offer on it, or to look at it, I should say. Yeah, because you got to look at it first, right? It's not an investment property. I'm living in it, so I got to go look at it. Okay, I can't just go, oh, picture, square footage, dollar cost. Oh, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. Wife won't let me. She won't. So we're ready to lock that property down, and I lose my buyer. Now, why does that matter? Come on, Al, you got tons of money, right? You could just pay all cash because you're a real estate investor. Yeah, well, that's not how we're doing this. We're not doing this that way because I'm not going to put a bunch of money into a house and let it sit there as debt equity. I'm going to use that money to invest so that I create streams of income from the businesses that I buy Yeah. So here's what I'm doing. The house I'm in right now is a VA loan. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that met the minimum requirements serving our country. Uncle Sugar said, you know what? We're gonna give you a VA loan entitlement. Yeah, which means that I actually have 100% purchasing power. That's right. I can pay for this property that I want to buy 100% financed. Yeah. Yeah. No. Trust me. Now, people would say, "Oh, that's bad because you're not going to have any equity in the property. What happens if, you know, the prices go down?" Doesn't matter. I'm not at a point in my life anymore where somebody's going to tell me you have to move. No, those days are gone. I can ride out anything. Yeah, I know what that note's going to cost, and I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with it. Because I have businesses that are producing income streams for me that I can afford that house. Not a big deal. And then I can let equity develop over time. I'm totally fine with that. Totally fine with that. So, we had written a second offer, literally, what's today, Monday? Okay. We had written a second offer. It was Friday night, Saturday, and it's like a giant blur right now. Trust me, everything's like a blur in my brain. And we were getting ready to present that offer because we had accepted an offer on our house. See, here's the thing. I have to get rid of the VA loan that I currently have on the house that I'm in. That's why I have to sell the house so that I can get my VA entitlement back so that I can move that to the follow-on property. Yeah, that is one critical element that I must accomplish. Otherwise, I have to be willing to run with conventional financing and put, you know, 20-25% down. I would rather not put 20-25% down on a property that is in the $750,000 range because I want that capital to invest. Now you're understanding my thought process. But I still got a problem. I have not secured that property for my wife yet. When I gave her the green light to house hunt, even the best researcher out there can't keep up with my wife. Yeah, it's just the way it is. I mean, trust me, she's on the computer. She's on all these different sites. I mean, she's finding houses that we didn't even know were available for sale. Yeah, we took to our broker and went, "Hey, what do you think?" She's like, "Well, I didn't know that was available." Yeah, well, let's go look at it. Okay. So she's probably, I would say in the last 3 weeks, maybe a month, she has probably looked at several hundred houses. Yeah. Now, she hasn't gone to physically look at several hundred houses. I mean, what she's doing is she's researching and she's applying screening criteria and she's eliminating the majority of those houses. Maybe it's because of price. Maybe it's because of location. Maybe it's because of size. Maybe it's because of, I don't know, whatever her criteria is. So it creates a very small pool of available properties that we're interested in. And I will tell you, since the 4th of July, we have been in every one of those houses. And it's not like all these houses are in one part of town. These houses are in different areas outside the city of San Antonio. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we went to look at one house yesterday, and it was a beautiful house, just the location was bad. And it took us 45 minutes to get to the second house we wanted to look at. It was a great location, but the house was bad. So, you know, the house we're targeting is the one we want. It's the perfect storm for my wife. So now, how do I get the sellers to take that property off the market while I'm goofing around with unsophisticated buyers? Yeah, that's exactly what they are. Yeah, the people trying to buy my home, they don't know what they're doing. It's okay. I can work with it. I get a little frustrated, but I can work with it. So this is what I talked to my broker about last night. I said, "Look, Bonnie, I got an issue. I got to get this house under contract." She's like, "I know. I'm trying to get your house sold." I'm like, "Okay, let's do this. What do we know about the seller? What do we know about the seller? I'm going to share something with you that you'll learn when it comes to being a successful real estate investor. We're going to teach you this stuff, but I'm going to give you a little tidbit right now. You need to get inside the mind of the person that you're trying to do business with in real estate. I mean, the more you know about what it is they are trying to accomplish, the better suited you will be to helping them achieve that goal. Let me share with you what I know about the seller. I've never met the sellers. Matter of fact, when we toured their house, I didn't even notice that they had a picture of themselves in there. So I really don't know who they are. Now, this I do know. That's an immaculate house. Oh yeah, there's pride of ownership in that house. I went into the shed. Yeah, there's like an additional structure on the property where the guy keeps his lawnmower and stuff. My shed is not that clean. Now, here's the other thing I found out. They're an older couple. Yeah, they're in their 80s. So I said, well, why are they selling? Well, because apparently they're in their 80s and they have devised a plan with their children that they need to leave where they're at and they need to move to Georgia where the children are at, and they're going to be closer to family because they're getting to a stage in their life where it's important for them to have caregivers. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I think what's going on in this gentleman's mind is a couple things. Number one, he probably has all of his money tied up in that house. Now, I didn't go look to see if there was a note recorded against it because I don't care. But he's been priced a little bit higher than the market. He has received several offers that didn't get to his price point because when I did the market analysis, I thought maybe, you know what, he's a little bit high. But here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to give him his price. I'm willing to also give him 3 months to close escrow because he does not want to be rushed. By understanding the seller, by understanding the needs of the seller, we were able to construct an offer last night that Bonnie is going to present this afternoon. And that offer will meet all of the needs of the seller. We'll worry about the pricing thing. To be honest with you, in 3 months, the price will probably be at that point. So I'm not too worried about it. My point of this whole thing is that when real estate seems crazy to you, you just have to sit back and realize you're smarter than the average bear. Yeah, you are. And if you want to find out how we do this, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Again, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Become a member, and I look forward to seeing you at our expo.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.